I'm crouched down on the bathroom floor, one knee on the towel I always keep nearby, running my fingertip along a thin crack that most people would ignore. You can feel it before you really see it. That tiny catch where your skin dips just a little too far. That's the moment I know this isn't just cosmetic anymore. This is where water starts getting ideas. You might be thinking a cracked grout line or a hairline crack in tile is no big deal. And I get why, I used to think the same thing. But I've learned that these little lines are like quiet conversations happening under your floor and behind your walls. They don't shout, they whisper. And if you listen early, you can fix this without tearing anything apart. I'm going to walk you through how I approach this, the way I think about it, before I touch anything. So by the time your hands get involved, you already know what right is supposed to feel like. You can do this, and I'll stay right here with you. Before I ever reach for a tool, I want you to understand what cracked tile or grout really means, because most people treat it like a surface problem when it's actually a movement problem. Tile and grout don't crack because they're old or tired. They crack because something underneath them moved, even just a little. Floors flex, walls shift, houses breathe with temperature and humidity. Tile doesn't like any of that. It's rigid. It wants the world to stay exactly the same forever. And that's just not how houses work. When you see a crack in grout, what you're really seeing is the weakest link doing its job. Grout is designed to give before tile does. It's sacrificial in a way. If the grout cracks, but the tile stays intact, that's often a good sign. It means the movement was minor and the system worked the way it was supposed to. A cracked tile, though, tells a different story. That usually means the movement exceeded what the tile could tolerate, or the tile wasn't supported properly to begin with. A lot of people get this wrong because they rush to the fix without asking why it happened. They scrape out the crack, smear something new in, wipe it clean, and feel good about it for a week. Then the crack comes back, sometimes in the exact same place, sometimes a little longer than before. That's not bad luck. That's physics reminding you it's still in charge. Success with this task isn't just making the crack disappear. Success is restoring the tile or grout in a way that respects how the fist wants to move. That means understanding where the crack is, how long it is, and what kind of crack it is. A straight crack that runs through multiple grout joints often points to structural movement. A short crack isolated to one joint might be shrinkage or age. A crack that follows the edge of a tub or wall is often about expansion and contraction, not failure. I've made the mistake of ignoring that context before. Early on, I fixed a cracked grout line in a shower without thinking about why it cracked right where the wall meets the floor. I used rigid grout where flexible material should have been. It looked perfect when I left. 3 months later, I got the call. Same crack, same spot. That one taught me that understanding comes before action, every time. What failure usually looks like is not dramatic, it's subtle. Water finds that crack and slowly works its way down. Wood swells, adhesives soften, mold starts doing what mold does best. By the time you smell it, the repair is no longer simple. That's why this task matters. You're not just fixing a line. You're protecting everything underneath it. Before touching tools, I want you thinking like this. Where is this surface allowed to move, and where should it be locked in place? Tile fields want to be rigid. Transitions want flexibility. Corners are negotiation zones. When you see a crack, it's evidence of a negotiation that went bad. Your job is to renegotiate the terms. Now that you know what you're actually dealing with, let's talk about what you need and how to get yourself ready. Because fixing cracked tile or grout is less about fancy tools and more about control. I like to keep things simple, but I'm very intentional about what's in my hands. You'll need something to remove the damaged material cleanly. That might be a grout saw, a utility knife, or a small scraper, depending on the width and depth of the crack. What matters is that it gives you control. You should feel resistance, but not so much that you're forcing it. If you're forcing it, you're more likely to chip tile edges, and that creates a whole new problem. You'll also need a vacuum or brush to clean out debris. This step is more important than people think. New material doesn't bond to dust. It bonds to solid, clean surfaces. I always tell people this is where the repair really begins. When the joint is clean, you can almost hear it. It stops sounding gritty when you run your tool through it. For the repair material itself, readiness is about choosing the right thing for the right place. Traditional grout works well for rigid areas. Sanded or unsanded depends on joint width, but the feel is what matters. It should pack firmly without crumbling. In areas where movement is expected, like corners or transitions, a flexible sealant designed to look like grout is the smarter choice. It moves with the structure instead of fighting it. Set up your workspace so you're not rushed. Good lighting matters here. Shadows hide cracks and make joints look filled when they're not. I like to position myself so I'm not straining my neck or wrists. Comfort isn't laziness, it's control. When your body is steady, your hands are steady. Before you start, run your finger along the joint one more time. This is a habit I've developed over years. You're checking for looseness, depth, and consistency. A joint that feels hollow might indicate missing material underneath. That changes how gently you need to work. Readiness also has a mental component. You should feel patient. This is not a fast task if you want it to last. When you're ready, there's a calm confidence that settles in. You're not wondering what comes next, you're just present with the work. That's how you know you're set up properly. When I start removing cracked grout or addressing a cracked tile, I go slow on purpose. The first passes are light. I'm listening more than I'm cutting. There's a distinct sound when you're removing damaged material versus when you're hitting something solid. The damaged stuff sounds dull. Solid material has a sharper tone. That sound tells you when to stop. As the joint opens up, you'll feel the difference under your tool. It starts to glide instead of catch. That's your cue that the loose material is gone. I stop often to vacuum or brush out debris because a clean joint tells you the truth. You can see depth, you can see edges. There are no surprises. When it's time to apply new material, pressure matters more than speed. You want to pack it in, not smear it across the surface. I angle my tool slightly and press until I feel resistance push back. That resistance means the joint is filling properly. If it sinks or collapses, that's a sign there's still void space underneath. For flexible areas, the feel is different. You're not packing, you're laying and shaping. The goal is contact without tension. I smooth it just enough that it looks intentional, not overworked. Overworking flexible material weakens it. That's a mistake I've seen many times. If you're fixing a cracked tile rather than grout, professional judgment really comes into play. Sometimes a hairline crack can be stabilized and sealed to prevent water intrusion. Other times, replacement is the honest answer. Knowing the difference comes from listening to the tile when you tap it, feeling for hollow spots, and trusting what your senses are telling you. Common mistakes usually come from rushing, pressing too hard, filling too shallow, or cleaning too aggressively. When it's right, it feels settled. The joint looks calm. There's no urge to keep touching it. That's something professionals learn to recognize. We know when to stop. As you finish, take a moment to look at your work from different angles. Light will reveal things straight on, vision misses. If it looks consistent and feels solid, you've done it right. I always end this task by reminding myself that small repairs done thoughtfully prevent big repairs later. You listened, you paid attention, you respected how the surface wants to behave. That's professional judgment, and it's something you're capable of developing. You did the work, and you did it the right way.